How many of you all would say it is good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. If you would stand for the honor of reading God's word, we are going to continue in our in the Gospel of Matthew. And this wraps up the Sermon on the Mount. This doesn't end our time in Matthew, but it does wrap up the Sermon on the Mount that started with the Beatitudes several weeks ago. And as we've been going through this message, the sermon that Jesus preached, we haven't hit every single part of the sermon. We've hit most of the aspects of it. And this is the conclusion of the sermon, Matthew chapter 7, starting verse 24. It says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." And when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we can come and hear your words. And Father, we recognize that your words have authority over us. And your word is inspired and it is true. And so we ask that you would speak to us, God, and that you would help us to evaluate how we build. And Father, may we build upon you. Lord, help me to preach plain and clear today. I understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray and his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So as we conclude this message, and we're in this, the title this morning is Built to Stand. Built to Stand. We want a life that is built to stand. So look at your neighbor and say, built to stand. Built to stand. We want a life that is built to stand, that stands the testing of times, that when the troubles come, that we're on a solid foundation. And so he begins with, in verse 24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and thinks on them will be compared to a wise man." Did I misread that? "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and talks about them will be compared to a wise man." Did I misread that again? All right, let me start. "Anyone who hears these words of mine and discusses among people will be compared to a wise man." Did I still mess it up? Let me fix it here. "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock." Now, we look at Luke chapter 6, verse 47 through 48. Jesus tells this story, and there's a little more information in this. And in Matthew, says, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood occurred and the torrent burst against the house, it could not shake it because it had been well built." So, what is a wise person? How do we build a life that stands? First off, we must come to Jesus. If anyone comes to me, we have to come to him. We have to come to him with a pure, genuine heart. We have to come to him in faith and repentance. We have to believe in him and receive him. There is a mental belief. There are facts that we must believe in order to be a Christian, right? We must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on a cross, that he rose again on the third day, and that everyone who places their faith in him will be saved. That is something that we believe, right? But it's got to be just more than a mental belief. It's got to be a heart belief. It's got to be a pure, genuine, that I truly do, genuinely believe with my mind and my heart that you, Jesus, you're Lord. I have to come to him. Jesus said, when he's talking to a woman at the well, that my Father desires true worshipers who worship me in spirit and in truth. So there is the knowledge that we must have, but that there is the spirit of the heart that must receive, right? And so we have to come to him in genuine faith. And when we come to him with genuine faith and repentance and we trust in him, that is the process of coming to him. We must hear these words of mine and we must act upon them. We have to do what he says to do. We can't just hear what he says and say, man, yeah, that's great. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. And then walk out of here and do nothing that he tells us to do. You know, I love Jesus, you know, and we can wear our shirts and we can wear all of our Christian garb. But if we don't live it and we don't obey him, that's not being wise. Okay? James said, do not be hearers only and delude yourself or to fool yourself. Any of y'all ever fool yourself? Huh? How many of y'all have ever fooled yourself? Right? I fooled myself. I mean, I think I can still play ball. And my mind says I can still make the play. But my body says, you ain't making it. You can't get there in time. But in my mind, I see myself stretching out and diving and catching that ball. But in reality, the ball is already gone and I'm laid out. We can fool ourselves. If we're not careful, we can fool ourselves and we think, just because we come to church, that means I must be a Christian. Not true. Not true. Just because you come here every Sunday and you hear and you listen to preaching and you sing songs doesn't make you a believer. You may even serve. Do you know that you can even serve in the church and be lost? You can serve and you can think, man, I tell you what, I'm doing this and I'm putting this many hours in the church and I'm doing this for the church and I'm doing this and I'm serving and I'm serving and I'm serving, but yet not do it out of a pure love and devotion for the Lord. Some people serve out of getting recognition. Yeah, I do this, I do that. They want pats on the back. They want to be known as what they do. I do this, I do that. That you can be deluded. You can be deceived because Paul says that if you have the faith even to move mountains but have not love, it profits you nothing. If you can preach and with the tongues of angels but have not love, you have nothing. You can give all your clothes away and you can even lay down your life but have not love, you're just a sounding gong. So anyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them with a pure, genuine faith, not a self-righteous faith. You see, we can act upon what we know to be true in a self-righteous way. That's what the Pharisees did, right? They loved to be seen on the street corners praying so they could be known as holy men praying. They loved to let people know how much they gave so they could be seen as these great people. They love to do their acts to be seen by men when Jesus says, when you pray, go into the closet and the Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. You see, there's a way to serve wrong and there's a way to serve right. There's a way to come to him in a heartfelt, genuine repentance and faith and trust. And there's a way to obey him in spirit and in truth, not out of self-righteousness. Do you see there's a difference? You hear? You with me? You got it? There's a difference. The one who comes to me and acts upon my words, he'll be compared to a man who built his house upon the rock. Now, what is that rock? In Matthew, it says the rock. In Luke, it tells us that the guy digs a foundation and upon the rock. Well, the rock is the teachings of Jesus. In the immediate context of this message, it is the teachings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. We'll get to that at the end. Okay, but that is one way, that is one truth of that text. Also, the rock is Jesus, right? So the rock is often in the Bible compared to that it is the Lord Jesus. Isaiah 28:16 says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. Okay? So when we look through the Bible, we see metaphors of Jesus and building wise, mainly when it's talking about Jesus, he is the rock or the cornerstone. He also is referenced as the foundation, but mainly he is the rock or the cornerstone. In 1 Corinthians, he's referred to as the foundation that we build upon. According to the grace of God, which is given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, another is building on it, but each man must be careful how he builds on it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So, Jesus can be referred to as the rock, but he's chiefly the cornerstone. He is the foundation. Obviously, we must come to Jesus. But there is also the apostles and the prophets. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the what? Cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So when he says, anyone who comes to me, when he builds upon the rock, what does it mean to build upon the rock? It means to build your life upon Christ and his teachings that are given to us through the Old and New Testament. The prophets and the apostles lay the foundation upon the rock or the cornerstone of Jesus. Okay? So what does that mean? That I must build my life and center my life around Jesus. If the cornerstone is set straight and everything is built off of the cornerstone, then the building is straight and set and it will stand. But if the cornerstone is crooked, guess what happens to the whole building? If the cornerstone's out of whack, then what happens to the whole building? It's out of whack. So if you don't get the right cornerstone, your life's out of whack. You must place your faith and trust in Jesus. And then once the cornerstone is set, you say, I have truly repented of my sin, placed my faith and trust in Jesus, and I know him, and I've set that cornerstone that Jesus is the cornerstone of my life, and I build upon my life from the Word of God. Right here. This is the foundation. We do not add to this book. And we do not take away from this book. This book is what shapes our life. We build our life upon what the Bible says. I've said it over and over again. You'll have two views of Scripture. Either you will be the authority over it and you will stand over the Bible, or you will allow the Word of God to have authority over your life. So that if I am behaving or acting in ways that are contrary to Scripture, guess who is wrong? I am. Guess who needs to change? If I read something and it points out a sin in my life, I don't say, well, that Bible's messed up. I don't change it. No, I need to repent and turn, and I need to conform to the Bible. The Bible doesn't need to conform to me. I need to conform to the Bible. I need to be transformed by God's Word. Amen? And so what Jesus says really matters, right? It's what he says. It's what the Bible says, you know. And we have people, church after church, denomination after denomination, who just totally try to take away the authority of God's Word. Don't believe in it. It's not God's Word. They'll try to put Paul against Jesus. They'll say stuff like this. If you get a real liberal-minded theologian or person that tries to, they'll say, well, I love the words of Jesus. It's that Paul that I can't stand. You know, Paul, he's that male chauvinist writer of the Bible. He's the one that says things about women that I don't like, or he mentions things that make me uncomfortable. But I like what Jesus says. Well, you can't do that. The same Holy Spirit who inspired the words that Jesus said is the same Holy Spirit who inspired what Paul said, what Peter said, what John said. This is the foundation that we build our life on. Got it? We come to him. How often do we come to him? How often do we come to his word? How often do we spend time alone with the Lord, praying, asking, seeking, knocking, hearing from him? And when he reveals something to us and he tells us a command to obey, we don't say, well, look at this. Isn't this a great suggestion that Jesus has for us? How many of y'all live like that? Boy, those are some great suggestions for us. And what can we do with a suggestion? We can ignore it, right? So are these suggestions in the Word of God? No. They're ways to live by. If you want to be wise, you build your life upon the Word, on the person of Jesus, and on the words of Jesus. Through His Word. The Bible. Amen? Because here's what's going to happen. Verse 25. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. It had been founded, the life had been founded and grounded on Jesus and His teachings and His words. And when the winds came and blew, it stood. Because here's what's going to happen. He doesn't say, if the winds blow and the storm, and if the storm comes, He says, when it comes. Because we will have storms in this life. We will have news that just rocks our world. There will be things, there will be disappointments, there will be hurts, there will be heartaches. I mean, we've seen it just this week. You know, Lamone gets word about her father. Becky and Kevin get word about their house. The winds blow, the storms come. But when you're grounded on the rock, it will not take you down. That's what your faith will do. Because it will come. You'll never hear me preach that, you know, just come to Jesus and your life will be so amazing and you'll just skip through life, you know, like it's some candy land. Because life is not all just cotton candy. It's difficult. It's hard. There are storms. There's disappointments. Some of us may have some of the worst news that we'll ever receive happen in our lifetime. I pray God, you know, shelters us and keeps us from storms, but the rain comes. And it happens. And when it does happen, if you've had genuine, rock-solid faith in Jesus and have built your life on the precepts of Christ and His teachings, it can't shake you. You building your life on the rock? Do you know Jesus? Do you know His Word? Are you living by His teaching? Proverbs 10:25. This is a great proverb. I would challenge everyone to commit this to memory and let this be maybe you use this on your Facebook this week or something. Use something positive. There we go. Here we go. When the whirlwind passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Isn't that good? That's good. The righteous have an everlasting foundation. So important what you build on, because the next verse, verse 26 in Matthew 7, it says, everyone who hears these words of mine, so they're both hearing these words of mine, but this person does not act on them, he does not obey, he does not put genuine faith in, he does not trust in Christ and His teachings, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Now, back in February of 2014, at the Chevrolet Museum, the Corvette Museum in Bowling Green, Kentucky, the earth gave way. There was a huge sinkhole that came in the middle of one of the, and y'all remember that, the National Corvette Museum, a big sinkhole, and 8 vehicles was swallowed up. The sinkhole was 40 feet wide and 25 to 30 feet deep. Go on to the next slide. Those are the cars. It looks like a matchbox car, doesn't it? Thousands of dollars swallowed up through a sinkhole. They interviewed, of course, a lot of people. And Matt Detman, he was the civil engineer professor at WK at Western Kentucky. He said the problem and the reason why that happened, that it was a groundwater issue. That there were, you know, of course, Mammoth Cave is in Western Kentucky, and there's hundreds of miles of caves underneath the earth there. He said the caves and the gaps in the limestone of the bedrock is where water will filter down through the bedrock, and it carries the fine soil particle with it, and what's left behind is a fine sand with a lot of void space that eventually will collapse. Back in February, in 2013, there's a guy by the name of Jeff Bush, was in his home, was in his bedroom, sleeping. Then all of a sudden, he hears some noise, and the whole bedroom is collapsed. Y'all remember that? Y'all, you remember when that happened? And his brother's there, and he's looking for him, and he hears his voice, and you know they get it, they rescue him, they get him out, but all of his stuff gone. Sinkhole. Sand. Things not securely on a secure foundation. I'd ask, what are the sinkholes in our life? What's the sand that we are tempted to build upon? I think one is the wrong way of thinking in our culture that you could have multiple cornerstones. That there's just not one cornerstone to build your life upon, but there's multiple cornerstones. You know, there's multiple ways to get to God. There's multiple religions that are equally good. And as long as you have a faith, and as long as you have a belief, and as long as you have a religion, then that's okay. And you can choose whatever religion you want, whatever philosophy you want. You know, go to Barnes & Noble and go through the religion section, the philosophy section, pick off a book from the shelf, and pick that and start building your life on that. And that is a sinkhole. That's because not all faiths are the same. Not all religions are the same. And it doesn't matter how well and how glamorous you build upon that sand. I mean, you can have the greatest house. It can be the greatest mansion. It can look you can have the best house in the neighborhood. But if it's not on a secure foundation, you're in trouble. You know, the world lost one of the greatest boxers probably that we've seen. But Muhammad is not the same God as Jesus. You can be the greatest at whatever you do in this world, but if you do not have your life founded on Christ, it will absolutely mean nothing when the moment of death comes. Jesus said it this way, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but yet forfeits his very own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" What are you building on? Is your castle made of sand? Are you building on sand? Are you just building your life through your own religion, thoughts, philosophies? That any moral teaching is as good? I tell you, the Buddhist Eightfold Path will not get you to heaven. It may lead you a life of peace and tranquility, but on the moment that you die, it will not take you to heaven because there's one foundational truth missing from that philosophy. Jesus Christ is Lord. You hear me? What about the sinkholes of our own good works? We don't need Jesus. I mean, it's a great story, and I'm glad about that, but I'm a pretty good person. I'm not that bad of a person. I do pretty good things. And you're banking on your own moral ethic that you are not that bad, right? I mean, that's what we think, right? I mean, every funeral you do, the person was a saint. They could have been the most onerous scoundrel in the whole community, and, oh, we're just so sad to see him go. And some people in their mind are thinking, no, we're not. But we never say that, right? Everybody seems to be so great. But that's not true. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about your you can do your works in an unrighteous way. And they can be good works. You can do things for wrong motives. your good works at its best in the sight of God is still filthy rags, the Bible says. How can you outshine God? How can you outperform Him? You can't. So some of you are building on sand thinking that, oh, if I just do certain things, then that must mean I'm going to go to heaven. But have you come to Jesus? Some of us, we just some of you have this philosophy, well, I've only got one life to live, so I'm going to live it. And I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm going to look out for number one. I'm going to do what I want to do. If it feels good, I'm going to do it, regardless of the consequences. I know maybe I shouldn't do it, but I'm doing it anyway. I mean, I'm going hard, you know, and I'm gonna just do everything I want to do. And if I'm gonna go to hell, I'm gonna go to hell having fun, and I'm gonna go down to hell with all kinds of buddies. Have you ever heard some people say that? Well, I'll tell you what, I might go to hell, but there's gonna be a bunch of us down there, and we're gonna have fun. That's wrong thinking. You might go to hell with a bunch of buddies, but it ain't not gonna be fun. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said it's a place where the fire is never quenched. There was a story where a rich man went to hell and he cried out. He said, Lazarus, would you please come? I just need a cup of cold water to cool my tongue. Jesus said, I can't do it. Even if it were possible, can't do it. There's a great gulf fixed. If you've lived a life without Christ, there will be eternal separation. And I believe in hell, you will be able to look up into heaven. And you will be able to see the joy of the Lord. And you will be totally separated from love and joy and peace and kindness. It'll be nothing but a place of torment. So what you build on matters. The day you die, will you be swallowed up by a big sinkhole? Or will you stand? I know what everybody's thinking right now. And I want us to check ourselves just for a moment, right? Because the Bible tells us to make our calling and election sure. To test ourselves. So I want us to do a little test, okay? Because I don't want any of us, including myself, I don't want us to be fooled. I don't want us to be deceived. Because how horrible it is for the man or the woman who lives their life completely rejecting Jesus and His word, and they die and split hell wide open. How horrible that is. How horrible it is for the man or the woman who thinks that they're on the rock, but they're not. For many will come to me on that day, Jesus says. And they will say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do these things in your name? And he will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Sinkhole. How scary that would be. So Jesus gave a sermon, right? Sermon on the Mount. He just preached, and he says, the wise man is going to be the person who hears these sayings of mine, a.k.a. the message I just gave, and acts upon them, will be like a wise man. Because we have the tendency to immediately think, we're the wise man, and we never think we might be the foolish man. So you ready? Let's do a test. Let's think about this. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Are you a person who is poor in spirit and humble at heart? Do you always hunger and thirst for righteousness? Or do we hunger and thirst for the things of this world more than we do the things of God? Do I always show mercy? Am I persecuted for the sake of righteousness? Am I always salt of the earth? Am I the light of the world? Or do I sometimes hide it under a bushel? Am I free from lust? Am I free from a hateful heart? Do I always forgive when I'm wronged? Do I love my enemy and bless those who persecute me? Do I always turn the other cheek when someone slanders me? Am I a generous giver? Does my prayer life reflect consistency and genuineness? Do I give grace more quickly than I harshly criticize? Do I seek God's kingdom first in everything I do? Or do I seek my kingdom? It's good questions, aren't they? Now, there are times in a Christian's life where we do fail and we do sin. The difference between a believer and a not a believer is when you're a believer and you sin, and you act contrary to God's word, the Holy Spirit convicts your heart of that sin. And you know as a child of God, that ain't right. If you have no conviction of sin and you call yourself a believer and you can go out there and you can live contrary to God's word and you feel absolutely no conviction, I would be extremely worried that your life is on sand today. Don't be deceived. The Bible tells us for everyone who calls on the name of Jesus, that we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, will be saved. Are you trusting completely in Jesus? And do you love him with a pure heart? And are you motivated to obey him? And when you hear the teachings of Scripture, they're joy to your ears. They're milk and meat that nourishes your soul. Or does it seem like an inconvenience and something that is in the way? You better check today on what foundation you're building on. Let's pray. Before we pray right now, I rarely ever do this. If you're a guest with us this morning, this is something I typically don't do. But I just want you to have some time to check yourself and have a heart-to-heart time with God. Let me ask you this question. I want to ask you to raise your hand. This is not a trick. I'm not going to ask you to come up and everybody who raised your hand to come and let's pray or do anything like that. I want you to evaluate. I want to ask you this question. If you were to breathe your last breath at this moment, how many of you confidently say, man, I know that my life is on the rock and I'm completely placing my hope and faith in Jesus and I know that I will stand. Would you lift up your hand real quick? Just lift up your hand real quick. You know for sure that's it. Thank you. Thank you. There might be some of you this morning, you don't know. You don't know. But you're in a situation where you think, I know I might be swallowed up by a huge sinkhole. I honestly can't answer that question. If I were to die today, I don't know. If that's you, would you lift up your hand? Anybody? Is there anybody? Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Let's have business with God today. Okay? Let's have business with God. Father, this morning you've spoken to hearts. And today we just pray, God, that we would all walk out of here not being deceived, as James warns us about, but that we would receive you, Jesus, that we would come to you. And so, Father, for those of us who know you, may our love for you continue to grow, and may our faithfulness be to you and your words. Lord, if there is anyone here today, those who raised their hand and said, I'm not sure, God, would you speak? Would you let them have time to deal with you and talk with you to get that straight, to get that worked out? And Lord, if there's anyone else who didn't raise their hand, thought, you know what, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I don't know if I would. That this morning they would come and say, Jesus, save me. Be Lord of my life. May I walk in your path. Do your work, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond. Let's come.